Let's turn this morning to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Heavenly Father, again, we ask your blessing as we open the word. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture to open our hearts and open our minds to receive it. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not uncommon in these kinds of gatherings where somebody will ask you, what are you thankful for? Yeah. What are you thankful for? And you know what happens more times than not is if somebody asks you a question, not even this particular question per se, but somebody asks you a question, spur of the moment, you may not be able to come up with an answer. You know, it might just hit you in such a way that I don't know how to answer the question. You know, there is so much to be thankful for, but when you know, all this seems to go blank. We just can't, you know, think of it. Sometimes we may not feel particularly thankful. Sometimes we might be having a bad day. You know, they'll say, well, you know, some bad things happened this week or this morning or whenever. Sometimes we've been inconvenienced in some manner. And in ourselves, in our natures, how easy is it sometimes to fall into the bog of unthankfulness? Our eyes shift away their gaze from looking at God and focus on things that pass away. God tells us in his word here in this verse that we are to enter his gates with thanksgiving. It's God's command and it's our duty to obey it. Webster, one of his many definitions of thanks, said that thanks is an expression of gratitude. And gratitude is the feeling or sentiment that is excited by kindness. And thanks is the expression of that sentiment. Thanksgiving is the act of rendering thanks or expressing gratitude for favors or mercies. As Christians, the attitude of thanksgiving is a part of our new nature. It's part of what Jesus has made us in making us new creations. He's given us that as a, you know, as a part of what we do. And so in our new natures, that should come very natural to be thankful for what God has done for us. Whatever it is. You know, this morning, we've got a great deal of sunshine out there. Now, it's cold, but look at that sunshine. Be thankful for that. You know? Yeah, I've been hearing for days that today was supposed to be nightmarish in as far as winter go. And I'm thankful that to this point that has not occurred. And I will continue to be thankful that if it does not occur. We're too early in the year to take a snow day, right? You know, can't be doing that. Thanksgiving, as a part of our nature, obviously needs to grow. You know? When a person first becomes born again, they're like a little infant. Little infants, little babies, don't they have muscles? Aren't babies born with muscles? Well, of course they are. But it takes time for them to develop. Little babies are born with muscles, but they're not, you know, jumping up and running around a room, you know. They're not playing basketball at 3 days old. Yeah. I guess some of the mothers might have felt like that's what they were doing, but, you know, that's something else entirely. We look at the growth of a child and we assume strong and healthy. We don't see some muscular development, if we don't see some things coming along, we start to recognize that there is a lack of health of some kind. If we're a Christian, and if we've been a Christian for 5 or 10 or 15 years or more, difficulty being full. It takes the simple fact that Thanksgiving is our duty is not going to express itself. It's not going to cause us to express it if our heart isn't exactly right. We'll say, yeah, I'm born again. I'm a Christian. I do my best to live for Christ. Yet I know that I don't do everything as good or as well as I should be doing. And part of that is because we need to grow more, which we're in the process of getting through. This sanctification work of the Holy Spirit causing us to grow and develop these aspects of our lives. There is a real danger for one who can never come to the proper expression of thanksgiving. You know, we entertain ourselves sometimes, and I sometimes try to come across like a grumpy old man, and you know, get off my lawn, you know, kind of a thing. But you know, we really don't want to live there. You know, and if we claim the name Christian and never are able to express thanks, then that there is a problem there that certainly needs to be addressed. You know, there are people that Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 1. They said that although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. Well, what happened? What did God do? He gave them over to a reprobate mind. The reprobate is one who God gives over entirely to their own thinking. Let me tell you, and it's no surprise, we live in a world of reprobates. And this nation of ours that was founded on biblical principles, that our first president made a great declaration of thanksgiving. You're not going to find that in our modern political leadership, that same attitude, that same spirit. These are people who know better, right? These are people who are smart. You know, they worship in their religion of science. Science is where we turn. Now, if such thinking bothers you, you can thank God that he hasn't left you. The idea of offending God in some way actually convicts you, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. That reminds you that God has still got his hand on you. That he has not left you to yourself. So I wonder, having had some time to contemplate the blessings of God, what is it that you're thankful for? In the psalm that we read this morning for our call to worship, Psalm 103:2 says, "Forget not all his benefits." What benefits does God have? Does God have any benefits? Are there any benefits to having any kind of a relationship with him? You know what we do too often? It's, again, the natural thing. Is we consider first, usually, the temporal blessings that we receive. Most of us eat regular. We don't have steak and potatoes every day. I heard somebody say the other day they were going home to have some ramen, and I said, "Oh man, ramen is the staple of college students. You know, once you've broken that barrier, once you got the diploma, you're supposed to." Wait from eating ramen all the time. Yeah. Man, I can't even. Oh well, if that's what you got, that's what you got. And we're supposed to be thankful for it. You know, I mean, usually there's something in our cupboards. Usually there's something in our refrigerators, but not always. I won't bore you again with the story of, you know, leaving the house with ice cubes in the freezer, and that's it. But sometimes there are situations in life where you don't have so much. But most of us can probably go to a cupboard and find a cracker. Maybe not. If you don't have any crackers, let me know. I'll get you some. Maybe I'll get you some cheese to go with them crackers. Or peanut butter, you know, whatever you prefer. Probably do something a little better than that, I'm thinking, if that's what you need. Whatever we have, God did provide that. Most of us have a roof over our heads. On the one side of my house is a city park. It's always been a nice thing for us because I'm not pinned between two houses. And the promise is the house on the other side is going to be tore down sometime. A couple weeks ago, they brought me a card saying, just in a few days. Well, few days is relative. I think it's a few days from when they actually decide they're going to do it. But there's a park on the one side of my house, and I looked out there the other day. Weather has been a little cool, someone had taken. There's a picnic table over there. They'd taken this picnic table and turned it upside down, used the legs of the picnic table as a frame, and they got some plastic from somewhere and made themselves a tent. And they were spending the nights in this makeshift tent. And I didn't see them until the last day. And I was certain there were two people out there, but I only saw one at this last moment. And I believe it was a girl. I'm not even 100% sure on that one. But from my house to where she was, just looking at the body language, she was not happy, you know. And she's grabbing up stuff, packing it all together, getting, you know, throwing one thing over her shoulder and then grabbing, throwing another thing over her shoulder. And she's grabbing up so much, it's like, you know, like a pack mule, you know, so much. And then she started to salvage some of the plastic that she'd made her tent out of, you know. So, like I said, I don't know if there was somebody else still inside that thing or not, but she took what she wanted and left. And that's the way they left it. You know, I mean, there's plastic blowing around now, kind of a thing. That's what they do. Most of us are not in that situation. Most of us do have a roof over our heads. May leak, may not. But we have something over top there to keep us, you know, out of the elements. God provided that. We might have a job or some other means of income, and we may hate it. Yet, God provided that. God blesses his people. You remember Israel walking around in the wilderness, starving to death? They weren't really starving, but they thought they were starving. Oh, Moses, look what you did to us. There we were. Yeah, we were enslaved. They were beating us. They were driving us crazy every day to get the work done. But all the things that we had to eat, leeks and onions. Keith Green said, ooh, what breath, but dining out in style, I guess. You brought us out here to starve to death. Moses goes to God. God says, here's the plan. I'm going to send you some bread. And every morning you get to go out and gather the bread. Only gather what you need for the day. Don't gather for tomorrow. And you know what people do? They get greedy. Israel had to learn the hard way. Some of the folks, they said, you know what? I'm going to go out and gather up for today, and maybe I'll gather some for tomorrow, and that way I can sleep in. You know, don't have to get up and go out and gather the food. And the provisions that they took in that were more than the day's supply turned wormy and stunk. But still, God provided. They even started nagging Moses. That's all they were eating. Manna this, manna that, I can't take manna anymore. Is it any wonder that Moses got frustrated with the folks? I mean, he goes to God, God blesses, the people are temporarily happy, and then, not anymore. Gotta have some food, gotta have some meat, man. So God provided them what? Quail. I mean, so if they wanted, they could have had a sandwich, right? They got the manna, they got the quail. Yeah. Little ketchup on there, we're good for good. I don't think they had ketchup. Good thing I didn't say anything to them. Or they've been nagging Moses for the ketchup, right? God provides for us. God has blessed most of us with family. I mean, there may be some in the family that are ne'er-do-wells. But at the same time, there may be some in the family who are very close. And you couldn't possibly imagine the severing of that relationship. God blessed you with a family for his purpose, and didn't leave you alone. There are exceptions, of course. Every once in a while, you'll read in history of somebody who didn't have a family. They'd all passed on. They were left to themselves. And so they're out doing the work of the ministry, and they're on their own. Do we ever read of the Apostle Paul's family? We don't. It's an educated assumption that early on Paul was married, because that was typical of members of the Sanhedrin, which Paul was a part of. So it's believed that Paul was a widower when he went into his work. But we don't read about kids or brothers or sisters. Peter had a brother. They were in the ministry together. God blesses most of us with family. Even if you don't like them all the time. And the thing is, you might be the one that he uses in that relationship, in that setting, to bring the gospel. You might be the one that God gives the blessing of leading another family member to Christ, of sharing that message with them. It's possible. Now, if we were to sit and write out our blessings, and if we limited ourselves to temporal blessings only, we probably could create extensive lists. You know? It's funny. I've been doing something with the kids this year. I've been having them write reports. Okay, and reports is a very loose term on some of these, because instead of the thinking that I was hoping for, to develop, I'll get lines, you know, one or two or three lines, you know, I ask the kids what they're thankful for, and they do go to the temporal side. There is not a real emphasis on their spiritual life and on the blessings of God in that regard to them. You know, I'm thankful for my mom and dad. I'm thankful for something to eat. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for my PlayStation, whatever that is, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. And by the way, I don't remember if that was in any of the reports. I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, that's kind of where it goes, you know, kind of a thing. So hopefully by the end of the year, they'll be able to think a little more. And I'm not looking for novels, you know. I really was only looking for like at least a half a page of something, you know. And when I get more than a half of a page, I'm kind of jumping up and down inside, because this is all right. This is some thought is going on here. There's something that's coming out. In some ways, they're thinking, and God is blessing in that way. But again, we don't want to stay with simply the temporal, because there are other blessings that God grants to us. Some of the blessings, the benefits that God grants us go well beyond this life. But not necessarily separated from it. Verse 5 says, His mercy is everlasting. Is that a benefit of God? Is that a blessing? Is that something to be thankful for? Absolutely. His mercy is everlasting. Spurgeon commented on that. He said, so long as we are receivers of mercy, we must be givers of thanks. Imagine if you would, it will never happen. But imagine if you would, if God said, I'm done showing these people mercy. Where do you go? What do you do? God's mercy to his children was extended from before the beginning of time. And it continues all the way into glory. His mercy is everlasting. Psalm 136 reminds you of that over and over and over again. His mercy endures forever. Forever. We are sinners mercifully saved from God's wrath by the obedient and atoning work of Jesus Christ. God's mercy is seen in His willingness to forgive us. Even repetitive sins. You know, we're told in the scriptures to lay aside the sin that easily besets. But he also tells us, if you're falling over this thing again and again and again, if you come to me honestly, if you come to me contritely and confess that sin, he'll forgive you of it. And that's good news. Remember when he told, when Jesus told Peter and the apostles about how often they should forgive? These guys wanted to cut it off at 7 times. I mean, 7 times, that's pretty lenient, you know? If somebody steals your lunch 7 times, that's a big deal if you forgive them every time, right? So you figure, hey, if they steal it on the 8th time, wow, bang, ooh, it's over. Yeah? But Jesus didn't teach us that. He gave them a number, but he meant infinitely. If they mess with you and come back and are, you know, contrite, they are sincerely repenting or confessing that sin, you got to forgive them. So glad he does that with us. So glad he does that with us. We can give God thanks for his leading in this life, even if we don't always understand where he's leading us. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14, he says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. We may look at ourselves and see someone who stumbles a little bit, but God doesn't lead us in our strength. God doesn't lead us in our name. Our ultimate triumph is guaranteed in Christ. Our faith is in Christ. And if I've said that once, I'll say it a million times. Because that's what we need to comprehend. That's what we need to grasp. Our faith is in Christ. We can be thankful that even death can't harm us. Death is a defeated foe. Jesus Christ did not stay in the tomb. He conquered it. And because he did, we're guaranteed resurrection. In the first letter of the Corinthians, chapter 15, Paul said, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." These bodies that we walk around in varying states of health and decay, one of these days will be done and laid to rest. But it's a temporary condition. I remind myself, I hope you'll forgive me, but I remind myself with the freshness of the loss of my parents. Now, it's been a year, but that wound is still open and fresh for me. And I remind myself that condition their bodies are in right now is temporary. Right now, they're having a great old time, not in those bodies. But the promise is that one day they'll be back in, not those bodies, but resurrected bodies, perfected bodies, and we all get one. Isn't that cool? I'm telling you. I mean, the day is going to come when I'll need a comb. I'm trusting. Some humorous fellow at one time said God made only a few perfect heads, the rest he covered with hair. I didn't buy it then either. That's good news. God's resurrecting power is something to be thankful for. Just as Christ was victorious over death, so will we. And finally, it's actually our text from last week, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, tells us that in everything give thanks. For it's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Fella said that was kind of important because it doesn't say for everything give thanks. It says in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We can be in a whole lot, you know? We're in a situation in our nation where we have a president with dementia. That's not a cut, that's a fact. He doesn't know what he's doing or where he is half the time. We are led by unelected people behind the scenes that we don't see. I say, God, I'm really not thankful for that. I'm thankful in it because you are still here. Jesus hasn't left us. He's with us in the situation. When John Bunyan is sitting in the dungeons in England and the little rats run around kind of a thing. And it's damp and it's dark. He may not have been thankful for that situation, but he was thankful in it. And God blessed him. And out of that experience came what? Pilgrim's Progress. One of the greatest works of literature, Christian literature, of all time. And probably not just Christian literature, one of the greatest works of literature. He was thankful even in that situation. God help us to be thankful, whatever our circumstance. And God will give us the grace to do that. It's important. Always remember, God never asks anything of us that He doesn't give us the grace to do. He doesn't ask the impossible from us. That's good news, I think. You think that's good news? All right. Very good. Let's pray.